Hey guys, it's Oso Stephanie. Thanks so much for tuning in to yet another episode of Singles and the City, the podcast. Hello, it's Stephanie Johnson, founder and CEO of Singles in the City. In today's episode, we're going to discuss the distractions to completing your healing journey and the number one tool you can use to overcome your healing almost instantly. For me, the main identifier that I still needed healing in an area was the cycles, right? I would ask myself, you know, how am I in a new season, in a new place? And then I have habits that I'm constantly trying to grow from, things that I'm super self-aware about, but yet I still ended up with the same results. It's like, you know, one day you wake up and go, you know, didn't I just leave a healing seminar? Didn't I just leave that relationship? Didn't I just read this healing book? How did I still end up here? You kind of feel like something's following you. And at that point, you know there's work to do because you're actively investing in all the healing, the therapy, the workshops, you name it, but you still haven't crossed over yet. The first one that I've recognized is being easily frustrated at the process of doing the work. It's a process, right? But you have to stop accommodating your feelings over facts and allowing your emotions to dictate your progression. You need to know your triggers and stay on top of them. That's your responsibility. Number two, society trends. You have to stop feeding yourself everything that does not line up with the word of God. Number three, are you guys ready for this? Comfortable Christianity. So let's say you attend church more, you're aware of God, but you're not adjusting your life to the Christian life of sacrifice. You're still very comfortable. And just because your pastor hasn't mentioned certain sins, let's say masturbation, drinking, cussing, clubbing, stealing, lying, etc., it's still sin. And it's your responsibility to get with God and repent, which, by the way, means turn away, so that you can live in true freedom and deliverance. Sin cycles is the number one problem why you cannot move on in your healing process. You know, and your healing gets prolonged because you serve two masters. Matthew 6:24, I believe the Passion Translation says, "How could you worship two gods at the same time? You will have to either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other." So a lot of us here listening to this podcast are born again Christians, but lack the growth and empowerment that comes from being a child of God. If there is no fruit in your life of healing and change, then you are not living at maximum capacity. So my question to you is, what have you been quote unquote working on for years and months, but not much has changed? What triggers do you have that you have not conquered? Are you still saying, excuse my French, when you have to say a curse word? Do you still have contention in the relationship with your siblings and parents? I mean, we could go on with the examples, but this is just a moment of self-reflection. And as always, I know this all too well, because I was the type of person that wasn't living at maximum capacity. 2 Timothy 2:5 was basically my life, and it reads, "Holding to a form of outward godliness, although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. Avoid such people and keep far away from them. For among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate morally weak and spiritually dwarfed women, weighed down by the burden of their sins, easily swayed by various impulses, always learning and listening to anybody who will teach them, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." So that was my life. Confessing Jesus, involved in my church, going to every healing and soul tie-breaking class, I'm tithing, I'm leading others to Jesus, yet I had no fruit of healing. I was still attracting the same people. And on countless occasions, I failed miserably. I remember one time leaving a Christian healing workshop that I prayed for, okay, cried at, snotted, cried all over the table, only to get out of the class and answer the phone to the very man I was trying to break the soul tie with, all in the same day. So the same thing still made me angry. I still had the same triggers. My desires and taste for things had not changed. I wasn't convicted about much. I fed myself reality TV shows. I followed prosperity pastors. I never read my Bible. And I did just about whatever I wanted, covering it with the grace of God. But I was completely self-aware in knowing I needed healing. But I was lazy. You know how you start a project and you don't know how long it's going to take? Well, I was so far gone that the process for me to heal seemed daunting. If I was healing strictly to be married to a great guy, I just took healing off the table because I was like, I'm going to be 70 by the time I get through all my issues. And I became distracted when I looked at what I had to do and what I had to give up. And when I took my eye off God. You see, I was expecting God to instantaneously heal me of all of my hurts, traumas, and wounds without me having to walk out the process. And how many of us, whether consciously or subconsciously, just give up and get lazy, to be honest, and want God to just whisk a wand over us without us going through the process and going through every nook and cranny needed. And I'm so grateful to God that my day finally came. You know, God always presents his children with an opportunity for growth. If he knows you really want to do something and you're having a hard time, he will always give you a way of escape. He will always open a door for you. It's your job to take it. So in my day, I was graced with a window of time to heal thoroughly, to be completely removed from all distractions so that I could go through the process, the very process I would never complete because of my environment, my distractions, my friends. The choice was presented to me either to stay where it's comfortable or take his hand and venture off into uncharted territory. Thankfully, I chose to do something different because in the midst of my raggedy Christian lifestyle, I was self-aware enough to know that whatever I was doing was not working. And even for you, and when it comes, we miss it because it's not comfortable or familiar. Or at times, you're the one in your family and friend group following God and going to an unknown place. A lot of times we pray for change where he can ultimately and intimately cultivate your life, washing your mind, your thoughts, your desires, your will, and your past, and give you a true fresh start. You see, I learned when you get about the business of hearing from God and doing things that are naturally uncomfortable to you, or even things that don't make sense to you, then you'll wake up one day and not even know that you've been transformed into a healed person. For me, things that I thought mentally would take years to heal from took no time at all. And I know that the biggest benefit in my artillery shed of combating laziness of healing and just self and doubt and everything else was cultivating a life of praying in the Holy Spirit. The next day, I know you're not going to believe me until you do it. The next day, my life began to change. I learned that by praying in the Holy Spirit, you're praying the will of God. You're praying things that you're not even aware of. You don't know that until you pray in the Holy Spirit. So the beginning part of June, I began praying in the Holy Spirit because I just wanted to go deeper in God. And I knew that I really needed to step my game up even more. I had been through quite a bit of a transformation the past 3 years, but there's always more to do. There's always more to learn. So I attempted, went from 5 minutes to 10 to 15 to 20 to 20 to an hour, 2 hours. It just, time just, you know, began to go on since starting in June. So I want you guys to pay attention to a timeline with me, okay? Praying in the Holy Spirit. June, I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, still praying in the Spirit. And by now, you know, I'm hearing God super clear. He's telling me to do a lot of fasting. which I was not very excited about because no one really enjoys fasting, but I did it out of obedience and I began to discipline my flesh and get used to fasting and get used to just doing things, you know, on the fly with God. One of my favorite aunt passes away suddenly. Mind you, you know, I've cultivated this life of praying in the spirit, and now I see how God was preparing me for her death even a month before. She died in July, but I had been praying since, you know, June in unknown tongues. I don't know what I'm, but I was able to take her death very well, and I knew that was from the prayers that I had been doing. So now let's fast forward to August, right? 2 weeks after my aunt's death, my dad is in an accident, pronounced brain dead, and on life support. So by now it's been, you know, 3 months of me building this momentum, praying in the Holy Spirit, you know, just not having a clue of what my life is going to be in the next few months. My dad's in the hospital. I'm the only child. My stepmom died 2 years ago. So it was literally only me. And quite obviously, yet, you know, now more than ever, I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm fasting. I'm being obedient. You know, I have my ear to God's mouth because I have zero experience in any of this. And now I also have to believe for a supernatural miracle for my dad to wake up and be fine. And to make a long story short, my dad and I did not have the ideal, healthy father-daughter relationship. I experienced a lot of rejection, disappointment, dysfunction, just you name it, I have gone through it with my dad. And because of how our relationship went the past 30 years, in no way would he have ever thought in a million years that I would be the only person to care for him at the end of his life. And you couldn't have even told me that. I mean, I'm still in shock today how God orchestrated that whole thing. From the moment I got the call about my dad's accident, I had to just take it one step at a time. This was uncharted territory for me, and I needed God to just be with me because I didn't know what to do. And when we talk about healing, you know, I thought I had forgiven my dad and moved on. We've had conversations over the years, you know, even this year we've had conversations, and I figured, I'm going to let him do him. I forgive him. I don't want any bad blood. You know, you have all those thoughts in your mind. And even when you're talking to people and trying to forgive. But when this situation hit with him being sick, a lot of things came to the surface. And it was no walk in the park for me to endure this journey. Imagine being so hurt, broken, scared, sad, angry and frustrated at someone who literally can't do anything for you. My dad couldn't apologize. He couldn't ask for forgiveness. He couldn't even pretend to ask for forgiveness or care. It was nothing. You know, he was just in the hospital. The doctors pronounced him brain dead. I prayed in tongues even more at the hospital. This is just what I had to go through. And although my dad never said a word back, those 2 months of silence on his end, but I still spent hours on end talking to him, playing his favorite Christian songs, praying. You know, I prayed with nurses and I had the hospital and his whole floor in such faith that God was going to perform a miracle. I stayed positive. I only spoke scriptures and the promises of God. You know, I cried a lot. I worshiped. I talked to my dad. It was exactly what I needed for my healing. So some time went on, you know, and my dad began to progress. He got off the ventilator. God was answering my prayers. He was breathing on his own. He was still, you know, he wasn't like talking or opening his eyes or anything like that. But again, some progress is progress in my book. And he was doing well enough to even be moved from his hospital to up north where I live in Michigan. When about 3 days after my birthday, he passed away. When I look back, God was preparing me through praying in the Holy Spirit for the grand finale, which was the loss of my father. He was my biggest hurdle of healing to climb today. And I thought I would never get over. Yet, that was the fear, the traumatic relationship that we had. I shared that story with you to help you understand how incredibly crucial it is to follow the one who can start, process, and finish your healing. I can't even begin to think about what my emotional state would be today had I not, one, followed God out of my comfort zone so that he could get me alone. Number two, if I hadn't allowed God to prepare me for the upcoming hardships through praying in the Holy Spirit. And three, if I had not trusted God through the intensity of my greatest healing challenge. In the past, when I looked at what I had to accomplish for healing with my dad, it seemed daunting. But when I invited Jesus in the healing with me, he took years of pain and washed me clean of regret, anger, selfishness, rejection, you name it, all overnight. The whole time, Jesus was waiting for me. He was waiting for me to be committed. He was waiting for me to really want it. He was waiting for me to sacrifice things that made me comfortable so that he could teach me and heal me. Crystals, chakra, vibe, sage, and even going to church is not gonna cut it. You have to invite Jesus into your healing because distractions will prolong your journey and force you to live in bondage and fear, never reaping the fullness of God's promises. So right now, I want to pray with you. I want us to end this podcast with you knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are forgiven by God, that you are going to allow God into your life to fully change you and make you into a new person, and that you are going to allow the Holy Spirit to do a complete work in your life. So Father God, right now, I start with just asking for the forgiveness of our sins. We believe that you are the Son of God and the only way to God, and that you died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. We give up all of our rebellion and all of our sins before you. We ask for your forgiveness, Father God, for being disobedient, for being complacent, for being lazy, for not going through the process, for not asking you for help, for not inviting you in for help, Father God. I'm asking that you also release us from the consequences of our ancestors' sins, Father God. As a decision of our will, we choose to forgive all of those who have hurt us, harmed us, and betrayed us. And just as we want you to forgive us, we forgive them. We renounce all contracts known and unknown, Father God, by any occult or satanic agreements, all the curses we've spoken knowingly or unknowingly, all the thoughts that we've had knowingly or unknowingly that we have allowed to come into our lives that have manifested things that are not from you. We ask for your forgiveness, Father God. Father God, we cancel all of Satan's plans against our lives and against our healing and against our progression. We have to go into 2021 different. We have to do things different starting today. We must change with your help, by your power, Father God. Father God, we ask you to set us free from every curse over our lives. The curse of not trusting you, the curse of not feeling good enough, the curse of rejection, the curse of pain, the curse of unforgiveness. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. We now release in Jesus' name the spirit of adoption and acceptance into our lives. We know that we are forgiven of our sins when we call on your name, Father God, and renounce sin. Father God, I'm asking that every person listening will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that they will have evidence in speaking in tongues, and that their lives will radically be changed even faster than you changed mine, in the name of Jesus. I release joy, peace, and wholeness of everyone's mind, body, and soul right now in Jesus' name. And I release the fullness of Jesus Christ and the plans that he has for everyone on this call in Jesus' name going forth. I seal all these prayers in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I declare Zechariah 2:5, "For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst." By now, By faith, we receive our freedom. We receive our salvation. We receive being forgiven of sins. We receive adoption into Jesus Christ. We receive the Holy Spirit by faith. And we thank you, Father God, for setting us free. In Jesus' name, amen. You have been listening to the Singles and the City podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will talk to you next week. Remember, there's more to being single than dating. Visit us online at www.singlesandthecity.com.